back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore. Baltimore Positive, we are in Dundalk doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I will have a crab cake before it's all over with. I had the Crab Imperial yesterday at Costas. I felt like a king. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Andy got number 21. I got number 22 here for Jim Palmer, and number 20 right here for Frank Robinson. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We're going to be doing the Crab Cake Tour next week on Wednesday up in Greenmount Station in Hampstead. Really looking forward to that. Got some great guests coming out as well. We're going to be at Pappas in Glen Burnie on the 29th at the Anne Arundel County Executive Stuart Pittman. We're also going to be joined by Johnny O today to celebrate 25 years of WNST. It's all brought to you by our friends at Window Nation and soon to be Curio. And this is what I wanted to talk to you about, our 25th anniversary. So, you know, at this point in my life, I mean, I've already admitted, you know, Steve Hennessy was a part of the beginning of this, Debbie High, Paul Kapelke, a whole bunch of people. Kirk Coolball was in the beginning. I have all these pictures. Ray is still very much in my life. Ray Bachman was supposed to join me at the Beaumont 2 weeks ago. He blew his knee out. Oh, he's no. In Aruba this week. So I'm going to get Ray out, and we're going to, like with you and Ray would have been great. I mean,
I just saw Ray at M3 concert.
I saw him too. Yeah. I saw him in May. Yeah. How many gummies that night? We'll talk. Right. I'll ask him when he comes. I saw him at Cheap Trick last year. I love Ray.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to get Ray to Guns N' Roses next week up in Hershey. He says he has to pee too often to go to Hershey.
You know he's coming to Kix in September, right?
I had John Allen yesterday for an hour.
Walking away to his show, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to be there for sure. I'm definitely going to be at the Kix show in September.
You're a Kix guy.
Oh, you bet. Oh, yeah, of course.
I didn't know this. Upstate New York guy. How do you become a Kix guy?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I would say, you know, if it's a hair
band
from the
80s. But you didn't grow up here, though.
Well, I didn't grow up. I didn't like them. Oh,
why?
Of course. I knew their first album, you know, Heartache and Atomic Bombs. And I mean,
I only know of them as a local guy. And I think of them as being like ours.
Yeah.
Like Ocean City.
And they are.
You know?
They are.
Ocean City's ours. And then the Pittsburgh people started showing up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the Kix is ours. But they're not. I mean,
Nestor, my wife
knows Don't Close Your Eyes growing up in New Hampshire.
No, my wife will tell you that's all I listen to. That's all I listen to at home. I've got, you know, I'm like celebrating 40-year-old albums this week. I'm listening to, you know, Y&T's Mean Streak. And
Summertime,
you know,
Girls. John Maroon is here. You know, I give you trouble about being 5 minutes tardy, but come on in. We're keeping good company here today. I'm just turning this into like an old home week. Andy Mueller is here. Andy was my first executive producer, along with Ray Bachman and Kirk Coolball. Lo, these many years ago, 25 years ago. I thought Andy was in my life in August. Sit up and have fun, man. Make yourself comfortable. I don't want to hurt your back. Hold on. I got to get your microphone on. I got to get your headset working. John Maroon is here, a man who needs no introduction to anyone. You made it to Drug City.
Dude, this is the coolest place. He said, go to Drug City. I'm like, this is weird, but okay.
Okay.
Amazing. I love it.
Did you get a milkshake on the way on?
Not yet, but it's happening. Roadie's going
to
happen.
You just have to decide. There's 150 flavors to pick from. So.
This place is really cool. If anybody listening that hadn't been there, I had not until this moment, and it's really cool.
I mean, check out this room we're in.
Yeah.
The tasting room.
The tasting room with all the bourbons on the wall.
This thing behind you, it just looks like a ledge. It's a trap door. It's a trap door right there. So John, of course, so you walk in, we just started a segment here, and this is a perfect timing, because we're talking about like current things, and this 25th anniversary that I had.
Very cool.
I thought he was in my life the day the station opened.
And just a few months later.
Yeah, he came later, and you were definitely in my life. You were the PR director of the Orioles at that time, right?
Yes.
Summer of 98, right?
Yeah, I was there.
You got here in 95.
95,
right. Yeah, so you were very much, like, we had a big buffet in the basement that day. Bob Leffler, I mean, I remember
it. You're in the house. I was there.
But it was in baseball season. That might have been a tough day. I don't know. It was in the middle of the
season. Maybe not that actual day, but I was there early on.
I mean, that was the beginning of the end, 98, right? Like,
that was the beginning of the end.
It was over.
Well, look, you know, it's tough to take that team and run into the ground, but, you know, Ray did it. But, you know, we had such a great run. 95 was Cal. 96, 97 were ALCS trips, man. And then
hand me my blue
sell-off story. But it was, you know. Yeah. That was a heck of a time to be with the Orioles, as is now.
Ed Lauer. Lauer came in. So yesterday at Costas, my wife took the day off. Thank you. My wife.
Jen.
Yeah, Jen Strong. She took the day off, and she she made it to appear about me, but it really was, I want to see Mr. Statham. I want to see her. And she wound up just like hanging out. And I felt awful at the end of the day because I didn't talk to anybody except my guest, right? And I pee, I come back, I turn the mic on, and we start doing this, right? And Mr. Statham and Lori and Jerry Piper came. I didn't even say a word to them. And Dennis, my clients, friends, all. And the only time I had was here. And when it all ended, we put the boxes and brought them here to Drug City, and we had shirts and gave stuff away, hats, Free the Birds, things, Get Nasty, that, old defense signs, just stuff, right? Spank the Yanks from 96.
Yeah,
Peter
that.
Had us thrown off in 96. Then he had us thrown off with Clobber Cleveland. We had the Clobber Cleveland. So I had all the signs, and we're giving them away. I said to my wife, I said, I feel terrible. She's like, oh, I had the greatest day ever. I visited with everybody.
Yeah.
And so Ed Lauer shows up, and Rasig showed up without telling me they were coming. And Ed Lauer brings this thing, and he gifts it to me. It's this 97 Wire to Wire.
Wire to Wire.
So that's why I wanted to pull this out. And he's like, just read it. It'll inspire you for what's going on right now. So, you know, in the current events of things and putting this crazy,
cool.
I know you're going to want to look through that 25th anniversary of us doing this and how much media has changed and the world's changed and all that. And the current events that we could be sitting here at Drug City in 2023, all alive and healthy, wives are good, you know, team's still here, doesn't have a lease, by the way. I think it's why they didn't get ceased because it rhymes with lease. but both of these teams are at a point where in 1998, we would have, the Ravens were a joke at that point, right? Like they were, Ted's coaching the team, Brian's coming in, They're wearing purple Barney uniforms, they're the Browns. The Orioles are on the back end of all this money, and Peter, and the strike's over with, and Cal's still here, and we have all this money, and Washington's never going to get a team, never going
to
get a baseball team.
I moved
here
at the wrong time, I really did, from an Orioles perspective. I mean, that's when I showed up to town in 99. And
you just missed it.
You just missed it, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
But I would say right now, you just arrived for it.
Wow.
Where we are right now, when I walk the streets, despite the fact that both of these franchises have thrown me out, and we will get to that, and they allow
sure
my Caucasian reporter access, and next Thursday we have to pick one because they won't let me in the other one. But the notion that if you're arriving right now, if I don't want to say young reporter, because if you're there are no reporters, you're either intimidated and work for the team or they throw you out. But if you're a person arriving, a young Andy, a young John, as a erstwhile PR director or a wannabe media guy,
or even a fan,
you arrive in Baltimore
couple
of 5 years,
it's amazing.
It's a good time for me to be in sports radio.
It's just a good time to be a Baltimorean. You know, I mean, I look back on my days with the Orioles in the mid-90s, and they were hugely exciting, but for different reasons, right? We had the legend and the anchor, like with a Cal, but we also were spending tons of money, right? Bringing in Robbie Alomar, Randy Myers, B.J. Surhoff, Eric
Trading
Davis.
Deadline. They
Eric Davis,
for three
Bobby Bowe, Jimmy Key, all these huge veteran names. So it was hugely exciting because we're like, the Yankees, we're going to step on your neck, and we did. And it was amazing. It's so much fun. The place was rocking. Now, I think it's just as exciting, but a little bit differently. This guy comes in from Houston. Is he another guy just going to try it? Does he really know what he's doing? This farm system is insane. Every kid that comes up is electric. They all seem like kind of good kids. They play with a fire in their belly, and they're crazy talented. This catch, Adley, might be the best catcher in Orioles history, and you know, you're projecting out. But, I mean, if you're not excited for the Orioles, and now camp starts, and you got the Ravens, Lamar's locked in, they're looking good. I mean, and it's a good year. Their division's going to be, you know, tough with Cincy as always, but you know, it's just a great time to be a Baltimore sports fan. It just is.
I read these clips from 25 years ago, and I'm sharing them, and I have a little consigliere group. Joe Enoch, formerly Enoch Office, has been my friend forever. Towson Transfers and Greg Landry, who videoed my wedding. His father-in-law was Harvey from the Emerald Tavern. So these are people that have listened to all 25 years. Bill Cole, who was an intern for Bob Haney on Sunday mornings when Bob had his basketball show. I didn't even know this about Bill Cole Roofing. So the three of them, I hit him about a month ago. I said, 25 years into this, like, what's our legacy in doing all of this? What have we really done? And they're like, well, I mean, you marched 12,000 people up the street before the Super Bowl. You created Whiskey Joe's. You let a walkout on the owner. Then you partnered with the Super Bowl winning. You got some stuff. You did some stuff. And then I started thinking about the signs and the road trips and the live shows and, like, all of this stuff. But Free the Birds, I don't know that it's number one because I'm going to do a countdown. We're going to, every week, we're going to do the WNST 25 Stories of Glory. Every week on a Wednesday, I'm going to release what number 25, number 24 leading to the Super Bowl that the NFL's thrown me out of after 27 years. So I'm doing this once a week, and there's going to be a featured thing. But Free the Birds, for me, I'm so validated and vindicated in my own jerk way, nasty Nestor way, 25 years later, that the reason I did Free the Birds was this is what the Orioles were supposed to be. This was what was promised to you when you moved here. This is what was promised to you when you took the job before Davey was here and Phil Regan came over, right, that they're an institution. Camden Yards is important. The community's important. Selling tickets and selling crab cakes at Phillips, all of that was important to what the Orioles needed to be. That's why we built the stadium. That's why we're going to give them $600 million to stick around and all of that. But it's supposed to be a daily, awesome roller coaster. That's what baseball seasons. You're a Yankee fan, dude. Like, you both were Yankee guys, right? Yeah. I grew up as a Yankee fan.
You guys were Yankees. Yeah.
So if you're a Yankee fan or even a Red Sox fan or a Cardinals fan, you've been engaged with this summer thing where you play 160, hopefully meaningful games, but at least the first 120 means something. Unless you fall apart and if you're the Padres. But they're trying, right? I mean, in the way that the Orioles tried 98, 99. And there's this point where Free the Birds, for me, 17 years later, they still only won one playoff series in 17 years. And now the stadium's full. We're vibrant. Everybody's into the games every night. I'm like, this is what I fought for. Yeah. This is what baseball's supposed to be. It's supposed to be this much fun.
Whether you win or lose,
you don't have to be in first place to have fun, right, but you have to believe that you have to believe in Mike Elias.
I think as fans and working there or being in media, you want to see that there's a plan, right? And that there's actually a system in place. There's people in charge that know what they're doing. And we're all going to have ebbs and flows. But I think with the Orioles, going back to the Orioles, it's so evident to see this now. And, you know, just kind of see these young kids. The farm system's deep. You know, what they built up in Latin America is deep. You know, now they're not afraid to go out and try to spend a little bit as well and hopefully lock some guys up when the time comes. But yeah, I think you're right. I think sports is based on hope, right? And we just want to be able to have hope, and hope springs from our passion, being able to look at our clubs and say, they have a plan. They know what they're doing. We might lose. We're humans. We might have injury issues. But as long as we know that there's a plan in place and leadership at the top, we're in, baby.
Well, that's part of the Ravens, where they have this belief.
Yep.
Right? I mean, even in DaCosta, even though he hasn't won, he was part of this thing and part of this culture of winning, and John knows how to win, and Lamar has won.
Yes.
And so, and Odell Beckham is, I mean, there's some pedigree here to say that Roquan Smith is the next guy, and all of it.
I love that, by the way. That was an amazing move.
Well, and that speaks to trading deadlines, and that speaks to Mike Elias saying, all right, you know, maybe this isn't our year to spend $20 million on Verlander, who wasn't coming, or Scherzer, and picking up tabs with the Mets' problems. I'm okay with the Flaherty thing, and I was okay with it before he pitched. I would have preferred Cease, but I don't want to give Holiday up, right? Now we're doing real sports radio, right?
Yeah.
Like, this is what was missing for all of those years, which created Free the Birds 8 years after the team went into the tank.
I love it. I think the tough thing for the GMs, like for Eric and Mike, right, and everybody else around the league, is that you're dealing with passionate fans who want, like, we're close, we can do it, go out, spend, give. They have to say, okay, time out. What do we got to give up? What's the ramifications? Not now, but next year, the year after that. Who's coming up? Who's going to be entering arbitration? You know, all these things are factoring into their minds. So, again, I think if he goes back and you say, Mike Elias knows what the hell he's doing. Okay, we didn't make a huge splash at the trade deadline. Mike Elias knows what he's doing. We're still going to be in the postseason. We got a chance, and this is a longer-term play, which I think is hugely exciting.
Well, you may not have believed that 53 weeks ago.
For sure.
53 weeks ago, they're dealing Mancini off. They're dealing Lopez off. You're like, what the hell is a Cano? Right now, we're saying, what's a Fuji? I mean, he's hitting guys with the bases loaded. I mean, like, and then Flaherty comes out. It's day-to-day in baseball, where in football, it's Sunday-to-Sunday. You know, Lamar throws the pick against the Giants. He sucks for 6 days,
and then
he left and right and runs for 100 yards, and he's a genius the next week.
Right.
That's the ups and downs of Brandon Hyde is now criticized widely on the internet. Isn't that wonderful? I haven't heard a thing about a relief pitcher here in 15 years.
Yeah.
Right? You know, since Buck left Britton on the bench, I haven't heard anything about, the bullpen, he left him in too long. And this innings thing that we're hearing about younger players and younger pitchers, I mean, it's very, very real. It's an institutional thing now that Palmer pisses on, and if Flanagan were alive, any of those guys would have that era. Yeah. But we're looking at the younger pitchers and saying, all right, who's going to pitch the innings in October when we need them, when you have Bradish out there throwing 200 innings when he hasn't thrown 150, right?
But honestly, good discussions to have, right? Last few years, it's like, yeah, whatever. Can we win a few games? You know, now it's this kind of thing. And, I think it's just great fun. Baseball, summer's so much better in Baltimore when
we expect
Orioles are competitive and in the thick of it. Like, this was such a surprise. And to your point, you're right, 53 weeks ago, we didn't know if this team was good. We thought, we have a few good, that young kid looks pretty special. But the way it's come together so quickly and the way they play and just the energy they bring, it's really cool, man.
You don't miss it at all, though, right? Being a part of it.
Working in bay? No, yeah. I don't miss it at all.
When they start winning like this, you don't think, I'd like to put my hat back.
Working for a sports team day to day is a younger person's gig, I think. There are some old horses that do it for careers. God bless them. I like my life. I like being on the fan side of things. It was great. I was incredibly fortunate.
Did you really want to leave?
Yeah. Yeah, while the opportunity came up, I needed to start making a little bit more money, right?
Fair enough.
So, married for a few years, and the time is like in my mid-30s, and the opportunity came up. I always loved the NFL to work in the NFL. I went down and worked for the then Redskins with the then owner and didn't, fully maybe explore.
I forgot that you were there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm putting the Snyder
thing. What a great guest John Maroon is today.
The bounty of my – no. I'll tell you, the thing that struck me about the NFL and MLB from a working in the sport perspective, working in – baseball was a grind, man. Like, every day there's a game, you're at the office or at the ballpark, or I made most of the road trips, so you're on the road trip with the team. Loved it. Young person's gig, but it was a grind. The NFL was awesome from a working perspective. Harvey Green, who's at the Dolphins, he was with the Yankees. He called me. He's like, you're going to love it. It's like semi-retirement. One game a week and, one night road trips. It was really great that way. The thing that struck me, and you just alluded to it, was the importance of every game. Like, in baseball, you lose a few in a row. You're like, the guys will figure it out. In football, you lose three in a row, your season's over, right?
That's a 10-game losing streak.
It's crazy,
right? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's crazy. And that struck me because the intensity of the coaching staff and the player around each game was a different level
after
to be
you
around.
Lose. You lose a baseball game, you go in the locker room, guys are a little pissed, especially if it was a close game. But, nobody's kicking their dog. They want to go get a beer. They want to get out to their wives or kids, or get out, get some rest. Go out, and if you're in Toronto, find something to eat.
Go get them tomorrow.
Go get them tomorrow. That's different in September and October. You start to feel the sphincter get a little tighter, all of that in a pennant race, and it will here.
Yeah.
It will here.
Can't wait.
Right. I mean, we haven't had that in a long time. But football, man, you lose a football game in Pittsburgh.
It's tough.
It's solemn. Guys are bloody, beaten up. They eating oranges, walking out of the locker room, and then the whole week, everybody's kind of
on edge.
All you have to do is walk in the building, and you know whether they won or lost in football.
Sure.
In football,
it was striking to me as a young guy who never worked in football before, and did like after a loss, especially when I was worked there, and after a Dallas loss, it was like a Pittsburgh loss.
Oh, yeah.
And it was like, whoa.
What was the era you were there? Mike Nolan, was that your era?
Yes.
So that was the ice cream on the desk. You were part of that one.
Completely part of that one. I can tell you the whole backstory of that one.
Well, why don't we? Mike Nolan did it over tequila one night in San Francisco.
Favorite human beings, quality guy like none other. And
we agree on that.
Well, I'll tell you, that whole coaching staff I really, really liked. I like Terry. I like Norv. Norv was quirky and funny. Norv Turner was a head coach. He's quirky and
Terry
funny.
Terry Rubisky?
Yep.
Okay, go ahead. Okay.
And I just really enjoyed all of them. And they were great people, and their wives were lovely. And, that year, people forget, they won the NFC East. I got lucky there. year too. They won the NFC.
They were good the one year.
They were. Yeah, they won. I think it was. It wasn't like a dominant 12-4. It was like 11 or 10-6. But they won the NFC East. Won the first playoff game against Detroit, and then lost to Tampa in trying to get to the NFC title game. But whole ice cream thing was just a really weak ass gesture by Snyder. And you know, some journalist.
Do you know the story?
Do you know this at all?
I don't know the story. No. So was you were there? What years? Officially?
It was one season.
Oh, one season.
99-2000 season.
Okay. Right. So that was before.
That was Snyder's first year.
Correct.
You were his first PR.
I was his third PR person, but I was his first year.
Kind of like the Trump administration. Okay. Kind of like.
I was the third.
You weren't a Sean Spicer, but you kind of hung in there a little longer than that.
Yeah, I did a full season.
You did 12 months.
I was covering them when Gibbs came back at Comcast Sportsnet.
Yeah, I was long gone.
Chris Heline took over.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Chris, one of my favorite guys.
Yeah.
Right?
Good. He hired me at Comcast.
Didn't he end up at Gibbs Racing?
He's at Gibbs Racing, yeah. He's down in North Carolina, yeah.
He's a great dude. Great PR.
Well, no wonder you got out of sports PR. You left Angelos to go to Snyder, and you're like, I'm going to go with Cal. That's it.
Well, you know, it's funny. People say to me, what about Angelos Snyder from a working perspective? I always say don't compare the two. Like, I never, you know, Mr. Angelos would never, like, call me up and go, like, we're going to get rid of this person. We're going to do this. You got to shut these people. Snyder would do that every day. Snyder was, like, a different kind of guy. He created a very hostile working environment. It was a very unhealthy place to be. But
apparently never got much better.
Never got much better, apparently. But the coaching staff was awesome. And Mike Nolan was their defensive coordinator. And one day some columnist wrote that the defense was vanilla. You know, it wasn't very exciting. They weren't blitzing. They weren't doing packages, whatever. And Snyder thought it was funny to leave, like, 5 gallons of vanilla ice cream melting on his desk. And then make sure all the beat writers knew about it. So then Mike had to go out and address it, right? And he's such a class act that he acted
like it was a sense of humor thing, right?
And he just kind of fluffed it off like, hey, you know, I get it. We need to spice things up. But, you know, interesting side note, I just didn't my job. And I said, Mike, you know, you want to talk to these guys? They're asking for you about this ridiculous stunt the owner pulled. And he said, yeah, I want to talk to him. Let's go talk to him. So we went out. He and I went out. We got surrounded by the reporters and he answered all the questions. And then I wrapped it up, and you know, so it didn't go down a rabbit hole too far. And we parted ways. And he came back to my office and said, hey, John, I just want to thank you for being there with me during this. I said, what do you mean? Like, that's what we're supposed to do. And he goes, well, you were there.
But you work for him.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
You work for him. I think about that every day.
So I stood with him. I prepped him. And I ended it so it didn't get too much. So Mike couldn't get himself into too much trouble with too many questions. But Mike Nolan was just that guy. And it was...
To him, you felt like you had his back.
Yeah, it was nice. Now that you mentioned... I hadn't even really thought about that. He's probably thinking you're a Snyder guy.
There's nobody else that could ever stay... Well, you didn't stay employed there. You couldn't have stayed employed there.
No.
Taking the side of Mike Nolan in that debate. Literally, that just would never happen.
No, everyone asked me if I got fired because, you know, you're the last one here, you leave. And I said no, but I'm sure I would have. I kind of just beat him to the punch, right? It was fun. I'll tell you what, the last day of my job was the day after the NFL draft. They had the first two picks. They picked Chris Samuels and LeVar Arrington, remember? So I got to go up to New York on Dan's plane, pick up the guys, bring them back. We went right to FedEx Field. The fans were going crazy. It was actually quite nice. I was really happy for these young guys. And it was a big celebration.
And LeVar's
did a bunch
a good
of
dude.
Media. Great dude.
LeVar's a good
big
dude.
Personality. Samuel seemed like a nice kid. And then the next day I was gone. But everyone's like, oh, Maroon got fired. I'm like, I would admit if I got fired. We all get fired, right? But I didn't, but I know I would have if I didn't get the hell out of there, you know. So
well, I mean, I guess all these years later with Snyder, it peels back the onion. I mean, you were the first of another dozen PR directors.
It's countless. We should have a party.
And friends of mine. I mean, Tony Wiley was a guy I knew for a long, long time. Yeah. And
Tony lasted the longest.
There's a credibility issue for humans that bring this forward. And I'm not going to let the Chad Steele thing go because, like, what's been done to my company and my business, intimidated by a billionaire after doing this for 30 years. The NFL was told I'm no longer a media member. I have an employee now that has to pick whether he's going to cover the Oriole Astro game next Thursday or cover Ravens camp because maybe I could send Andy. I don't know who they'll let in or not. But the owners really, they own the media now. There is no media left anymore. If you're in there, you work at their pleasure, or you're not in anymore. And the partnerships that have evolved, where there's billions of dollars now for their partners, they want it all. Andy was talking before you got here about how he'd wait for Brian Billick on, you know, 1999, and Brian would come over and do 5 or 10 minutes with him.
There's no way he'd have the chance now.
The thought that Lamar Jackson would ever speak to me one-on-one without Chad Steele being right next, I mean, Lamar doesn't have an agent, so a lot of that's agent play, too, because an agent will say, well, I want my guy on your show to promote a charity event,
sure,
right? I mean, you had some baseball players at points where you were promoting their off-season charity stuff for the heart, for the longevity and Monica and all. Like, I would be happy to promote all of that, but the PR people, the agents, and then the team PR people, you know, the days of me having team quarterbacks on at the barn, that's just me or anybody like me, that's just over with.
Well, how much is PR a content job now? The web, you need content, constant content on your your team website, right?
Yeah.
So it's more about generating content and generating money from the content than it is.
Well, the quarterback talks to Ryan Mink, and they pretend that's a reporter.
Right.
They do the lounge, and they pretend that's the barn show on radio. And then they do the partner at BAL, and that's that. I mean, that's sports media at this point.
Well, look, I'll push back on you guys a little bit. I mean, I think certainly teams own their stuff and they own their content, and that's the evolution of technology, right? And so I think it'd be foolish for teams to not say, we can now tell our own story the way we want to tell it. Good example, I'm a long-suffering New York Jets fan. Suffering's coming to an end. And they have a
show.
That's
even on their website, because they have hope, like all 32 teams. That's what they're selling this week. Browns and the Jets were both selling hope. Yeah. I'll give you a nickel, neither one of them make the playoffs right now.
Yeah.
And you know what? I can bet on it now, and it's legal, and I can talk to you about that.
And we will bet on it.
And you would have thrown me out of your locker room had I talked about
that. And we will bet on that before I leave today. But I mean, my point is, so they have a documentary team that won a bunch of Emmys. They do a thing called One Jets Drive, and every week they have a show, and they're going up against Hard Knocks, and they're still going to do it. But my point is,
so they're doing two reality shows.
They are.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I was making sure.
So they didn't want Hard Knocks. The NFL made them do it. But anyway, I think the point is that teams now have ways to reach their fans that they didn't have when I worked for sports teams and when you covered sports teams. It's just a different way. So they'd be foolish to not utilize that. I don't know enough about the landscape. I haven't worked for a team in forever, right? Like, let's keep it in perspective. Last I worked for a team was before the turn of the century, right? So
I love saying that.
Yeah, I know. It's
funny. We live long enough that we can say back
true.
At the turn of the century.
At the turn of the century was the last I worked. So the world certainly changed, that's for sure. But, you know, from a guy who owns a public relations firm, I still work hard to earn the media stories, to earn their trust, to build relationships, to tell stories through them, because it's that third-party credibility that my clients still value and I still value. So I think it's important to have media relations. I still think it's really vital for what I'm doing. As I can't speak intelligently on like how it works with the club, I will tell you, and again, we're all shaped by our experiences and how people treat us and how we are. These two local teams have been very good to me and my staff, and they allow us the access we need to when we do things. We work with O.J. Bergantz, the Bergantz Foundation, an amazing man, and his lovely wife, Shanda. So, you know, when there's some needs for that, and the Boys and Girls Club want to bring kids out to training camp or to throw out the first pitch, they're really good to me. We're all shaped by our experiences. Those are my experiences. As for how a team works now, I feel like a freaking dinosaur because I've been out of the game so long, I don't even know. I'm trying to get media attention for, a hospital and a nonprofit and a tech company as much as I am for anything related
to
sports. But
the sports teams don't need the Banner or the Sun or Channel 2. You covet that because that's, to your point, you want that third.
Yeah.
You want Jamie Costello or me or Marty Bass out asking whatever we want about a hospital because we expect them to be transparent. We go in and they take scalpels and cut us open. We want them to, like.
I will agree to you. I agree that's a valid point, Nestor. I think they still need relationships with these news gathering agencies, but the need for it to be as this is far less than it used to be, right? Now it could be this because we have our own ways of talking to our fans through social media, through documentaries, through TV shows, through content creation. So I'm not see my Jets phone fell out.
Your Jets phone. J-E-T-S. Yeah. Jets. John Maroon is here. He went wire to wire in 90. Yeah. I mean, I'm friends with Joe Douglas, so I'm not going to, you know what I mean? Like, so, and I'm not even anti. You're on this Rodgers thing? He's going to be your Namath?
Yeah, well, there's no reason to think he won't be, right? I mean, why do you think he won't be? You think he's going to be bad at football all of a sudden?
I don't know.
Last year, he played with a broken thumb, and he had better season than the Jets quarterbacks had in 15 years.
Maybe the shrooms helped.
I'm just saying.
I mean, I was rooting for Flacco last year just because I like Joe, but
Joe couldn't play.
But Joe, yeah, Joe's.
Joe texted me last week. Joe said he's waiting on a call that he might not get. You know,
he ain't getting it. And you know, but he might. You never know who goes down in training camp for a backup, right? But I mean, Aaron just feels like he's got a lot of energy. He feels very reborn there. He seems all indications. I follow this very closely.
Well, the chip on your shoulder part of a guy that's that decorated. Yeah. Cal had it at the. Everybody has it at the. Everybody wants it. I have it 25 years in. People pissed on me and threw me out. Watch me.
Right.
Sinead O'Connor. I'm a seed, dog. You don't want to bury me.
You just quoted like, Sinead O'Connor.
Yeah,
well,
I'm a seed. You don't want to bury me.
That long hair you did.
Well, but that's Aaron Rodgers. They're burying him.
I think so.
Every day, John Harbaugh thinks that way. Every day Lamar thinks that. It's how they all think.
Yeah. I would be shy to see the Jets to me if you watched them last year, and I watch every game, because I love them, and they're my team, and you're born into it, and you know that's how it is. The Ravens are my second favorite team. We root for them hard as long as they're not playing the Jets. And but I mean, watch them last year. People are like, why are we talking about the Jets that are watching it now? Sorry, but folks, bear with me. They were really a quarterback away. Their defense was number four. They had the offensive and defensive rookies of the year in the NFL. They have running backs, they have receivers, they have a tight end room. They need to bolster the O-line a little bit, and they need a quarterback desperately because the pick didn't work out, at least to date. So adding Rodgers, in theory, should get them. Now, you could also look at the AFC East as a beast. Every team except maybe the
Ramsey
Patriots.
Going down. Hell, you know, things are still are moving around.
But Dolphins are pretty decent. Like, Dolphins have reason for optimism, especially if Tua can ever stay on the field. But Bills are the Bills. I think the Patriots are going to suck. I don't care how many people say it's still Belichick. Like, they should win 5 games.
And we'll win 7 because of Belichick.
Yeah, that's right. And they'll win 7 because of Belichick.
I think.
But, you know, we'll see. Well, no more Jets talk, folks. I'm sorry.
No, I don't mind Jets talk. Yeah. John Maroon's here. We'll take a break. Andy, you going to stay a little while?
Sure.
All right.
A few more minutes, they got sandwiches
and milkshakes here.
Okay.
They have liquor here. We're Drug City. Sign on the wall says so. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. It's their 50th anniversary. Yeah, the 50th anniversary that they did inspired me to, like, I'm going to make a BFD out of my 25th anniversary.
Yeah,
that's what we decided to do here. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Your friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, with the summer offer. And I'm celebrating the one-year anniversary of our windows this week as well. Our friends at Curio are going to be presenting the top 25 stories of glory at WNST. We're going to release one a week for the next 25 weeks. In the meantime, next week we are in Greenmount Station in Hempstead up north, eating a delicious crab cake with Chris and the folks up there. That's on Wednesday. And then we're the 29th. We're at Pappas. In Glen Burnie in the middle of the day with Anne Arundel County Executive Stuart Pittman. Johnny O will be joining us a little later on today.
Wow.
Johnny O knows where Dundalk is. I asked him, has Johnny O been he's a politician from Dundalk. Of course he's been to Drug City. So we're at the tasting room here at Drug City. We're going to continue on. Former Oriole PR guy, reformed PR guy from sports.
Recovering.
Who now does the good work of the good people like the Restaurant Association. By the way, Tom Pearson and I did like an hour and a half.
I know. He loved it.
Yeah, I didn't realize he was so Philadelphia.
Tom Pierce with Classic Five Golf.
Yeah, we did cheesesteaks. We did pretzel sticking to the top of our roof of our mouth coming down 95 on the way home from game. So Classic Five as well. So John's here. Andy's here. Andy was our turn of the century producer. Only available because Ray Bachman blew his leg out. We'll get Ray on later on, all right? Stay with us. We're celebrating Baltimore Positive in 25 years and talking some sports in Baltimore.